Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily. Let's go have a seat. I just love our time together in worship, don't you? Just a reminder and just coming together as the church and proclaiming his name. Well, if you're joining us maybe for the first time online or hanging out with us here in the room, you're jumping in. We're in the middle of a series called Be the Bridge. And really, we are what I like to call in training of how God is using us to live on mission here in the Lowcountry. Really, honestly, it can be applied anywhere. And so if you want to go back and listen to some of our previous messages, we have those online. We have a podcast, and you can also just watch those online as well if you want to go back and look at some of these that we've been diving into. But today we have a particular topic that I'm really excited about. Surprise, surprise. But I really think it's an intentional thing that we're talking about, and I don't want to get into it too much until we get there. But today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4 is in the New Testament. Kind of an easy way to remember. Sometimes I'll say General Electric Power Company. Okay, just crazy, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians comes right there. Jump in there. Colossians chapter 4 is where our base verse is today. And then we're going to close in 2 Kings. But we're going to have the scripture for you on the screens as well if you want to look at that. But I'm just going to pray and ask God to speak to us. And can we just one quick time give it up for our worship team? Thank these guys for coming in today. Thank you so much for leading us. It's an incredible time, intentional time of worship. And so we here have a passion for what God is doing. And our mission is to connect people to Jesus daily. And so that's our heart. This is not just a Sunday thing, but how can we help train, equip, and develop, and really honestly walk in love to know Jesus each and every day of the week. And so we're gonna kick that off today and really just dive in. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you for the opportunity just to open your word, God, to be able to read it and to walk in your ways, and just to have the freedom to sit and not have to worry about a lot of things going on around us, but just to sit and to focus for the next few minutes about what your word says, God. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that you will open our minds, open our hearts to what you are doing, the activity that's going on around us. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. God, I pray the Holy Spirit does what only he can do, and that is change lives, mold us to be more like you, draw people near to you, God. We love you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm going to kind of put myself in a generational category right here, okay? But when I remember when I was growing up, we had a certain game system that we played, okay? We started out with a Nintendo. Anybody play with the regular Nintendo? You may be before that, like Atari. What was before Atari? Was anything before Atari? Nope. Okay. That was it. And Atari, but then progressed into the Nintendo, which was awesome. And really, my family, we loved the Nintendo. And we may have upgraded to the Super Nintendo just for a little bit. And then we waited until, you know, the graphics were where you can see the beads of sweat. And it looks like an HD movie now. But just playing the Nintendo, I remember we played games like Super Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, that was the hit. Mario Kart. Super Mario Brothers, right? Like just spending, I mean, just crazy amounts of time, right? Just all-nighters trying to conquer these levels of Super Mario. But you may not have known, and the students in the room, I'm going to need your help here in a minute. But you know, on Super Mario, I have a lot of older cousins, and so I was trying to keep up with them. Well, we were playing, and all of a sudden, during like Super Mario, and does anybody remember the Punch-Out game? Mike Tyson, there you go. That game, I would come in and play with them, and I'd realize that they were way farther ahead than they were the day before. And I was like, what is going on? There's no way you could have accomplished all of this along the way. Well, what I found out is they found some cheat codes, right? Like they found a way to bypass all these different levels. Students, do they still do cheat codes on games? Is there like cheat codes and stuff you can do? No? Yeah? Okay. I'm getting some yes. Some people are like, Daniel, I'm not talking to you right now. But it's all good. But with the realizing, seeing those cheat codes or seeing, you know, in Nintendo, it was like up, down, right, left, A, A, B, B, you know, those kinds of things. Now I'm sure it's like all kind of advanced. But these cheat codes in Super Mario, it's almost like you could find a niche or a shift in the game, right? And you could jump to, say, four levels ahead. And you got to see that. And it changed the whole experience, right? Like, it changed the game. And I remember going back, and when I realized that, I'm like, psh, I'm not playing these small levels. I'm jumping way ahead, right? Like, I'm jumping further than I can imagine or than I can think I have experienced that. And I believe that experiences can do that. And when we're experiencing, when we experience something new, it's like we see it and it's like, my eyes are open to a whole new level. It's like my eyes are open to a whole new environment or atmosphere. Or I can't believe this is really happening. I didn't know you could do this. And I've even seen people in my spiritual walk or seen people who are connecting with God. And it's like, wait, what do you know that I don't know, right? Like, what kind of, it seems like you're further or you're closer or something. And it's just like, wow, what are you doing that I'm not doing? And today, when I'm studying Colossians chapter 4, it's like Paul is trying to get us as followers of Jesus to really open our eyes so that we can experience something that's going on around us. And when we really see that, we begin to experience something at a deeper level. Almost experience something about living on mission of going, wow, this is incredible. Wow, this is going on. I didn't know. My eyes are open. And if I were to select a title for the message today, it would be Open Our Eyes, God. And really, we're talking about prayer, but not just an overarching, but we're talking about a specific avenue of prayer that Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 4 here. And really, this overarching prayer of God, open my eyes. Open our eyes to see what you are doing. And I am wholeheartedly bought in and believe that God wants to take us on this mission. When he was calling his disciples in the church, he said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I want to take you on this journey. I want to show you some experience. I want to show you this way to live life. I created you, but I also want you to experience this way of living, this living on mission. That is incredible. It is life-changing, and it's something where it'll leave us even wanting more of God. I'm even willing to sacrifice and give up because now I'm seeing what you're doing around me. I'm seeing what you're doing in this world. And so as we look at this, and we're going to look at Colossians chapter 4. And Paul is really teaching the Colossian church. He begins to write, and we're getting to the end of his letter. And so, you know, right before you leave, all my parents in the house, or before you leave somewhere, you're leaving somewhere for work, it's like, hey, I'm about to leave. Now remember these things, right? And you highlight some of the big topics, like boom, 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 remember this, this, and this. This is what Paul's doing. He's in Colossians 4. He's getting ready to close this letter out, and he's saying, hey, remember these things. These are some big highlight ticket items that I've been talking about, but just remember these things. And we're going to start here in verse 2. Is everybody still with me? Everybody tracking? Very good. Starting in verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is a few verses that we could spend a lifetime of studying, but I just want to take the next few moments and really for us to understand, what is Paul talking about? How is he guiding us as he's talking to the early church? And as we read the Bible, there are some truths there that he is writing for them, but also apply to us today. And if we can pick these up and understand and walk in these truths, God wants to do something in and through our life. And he starts off here and he says, devote yourselves to prayer. He's saying, I want you to remember how that there's this general theme that you and I are called to as believers. And if you've been following God for a long time now, you're no surprise you hear that word. But I love that he used the term devote. And some translations say steadfast. Be steadfast in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. And I think about whenever we devote ourselves to something, it takes work, right? It takes for us to step out and to be intentional. And I think if we're honest with each other, or I won't superimpose myself onto you, but a lot of times for me, it's hard to do that sometimes, right? It's hard to stop and to be intentional and to vote. It seems like there's always something going on, right? It seems like there's always something that wants to fight for our attention or get in the way. And I begin to think, as I was talking about that word devote, if I were the enemy, what would be the thing I would try to take from Christians? And that would be prayer. Because if he can take our communion, our devotion to God, that time where we're praying and making our requests known to him, if I can take that time and when that time of him speaking into us, giving us wisdom, giving us direction, if I was an enemy and I could take that lifeline away from his believers, that would be my focus. That would be my heart. That would be my devotion to that. C.S. Lewis is a great author, and a few hundred years ago, as he was writing, and he would write fictional stories. Maybe you've heard like Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, some of those stories. He would write fictional stories that were based off some biblical truths. Well, he wrote this book called The Screwtape Letters. And if you ever heard of it, he writes it from the viewpoint of the enemy, of the devil and the demons and how they work and all those different things. And so it's really, really fascinating. And actually will play tricks on your mind as you read it, because it's written from the opposite. So when he talks about the church, talking about the enemy, talks about Christians, they're talking about those are the, and so he writes it as the viewpoint, but from a Christian standpoint. And there's this one particular phrase where this high up enemy is training a lower one, and he's saying, hey, while you're trying to distract, he calls them the enemy in the book, but he's talking about Christians, and he's saying, while you're doing that, make sure that you make them so busy that they forget about prayer. Make this, you know, that's the right track that you want to keep them on, is that where they forget about that opportunity to pray. And I was reminded of that this week, of going, wow, that's such a thing, because prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so eye-opening. Prayer changes everything. And prayer is not just something we can tag on as a Christian, but it's woven into the very fabric of who we are. It's how we connect with God. We're communicating to him. He's communicating and speaking to us. It's kind of like our secret there, right? It's like that secret sauce. It's almost like that cheat code almost, right? Where we get to come before the throne room of the Almighty, and we get to hear his words and hear his truth in that. And as we are devoted to that, and it takes intentionality. It takes you and I going, you know what? No, I can't do that. Because there could be great things in front of us, but God wants us to do the thing that matters and will speak to our hearts the most. It's devoting ourselves to that time, devoting ourselves to that prayer. And then I love this, Charles Finney. He was a great evangelist, and his ministry was bought into the power of prayer. And if we can look back to the movements of God where we saw the Spirit just poured out over a location or a time frame, you can trace it back to people who said, well, you know what, we're going to devote ourselves to prayer. And there's stories of Charles Finney of recruiting a prayer team, and while he's preaching on stage, there would be people underneath the stage praying for God to move during this time. But Charles Finney, he has this quote. It says, nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer. Something about prayer that unites us and binds us together. And then Paul, he continues, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then he tags on two things that are pretty incredible. He says, be watchful and thankful. Paul, he loves to tag that thankful on. He's like, when you're praying, remember, do this, this, and this, and remember the thankful piece. Remember to be grateful for what God is doing, as Kendall was sharing there, which are big pieces. But this is something that I don't want us to skip over, because I believe it's an incredible principle for you and I as we're walking in our Christian life. And so as he says, being watchful, I'd love for you to write this down. It's not going to be on the screens for you. But if you're thinking through this, this is a prayer that you and I can pray. I want to give you two prayers today that we're praying, that we can pray together as a church, praying and asking God. And then one kind of big application piece at the end. And so the first one is, you guys ready? Okay. First one is God, open our eyes to your opportunities. God, open our eyes to your opportunities. And when Paul is preaching, he's saying, be watchful. And if you think about it, my old coaches, they tell me, they say, keep your head on a swivel, right? It's like this living life of being watchful. Okay, God, what are you doing in the world around us? I want you to invite me into what you are doing on this earth. And if I'm watchful and if I'm waiting and I'm paying attention, and can I see what God is doing and see him moving? And then now it's saying, God, I'm going to join you in your mission. And that's a big shift, because a lot of times I will go and I'll start to write the things down that are on my heart, and I'll begin to write all of those things, which those are great things and all of that. But what a powerful way for you and I to live is to go, okay, God, what are you doing? Now, what are you doing on this earth? What are you doing around me? And how can I join you in that mission? And so there are a few things I think you and I can be watchful for. And anytime we see this, we go, God's doing something there. God's doing something there. God's doing something here. God's doing something at work with my coworker. God's doing something with my kid. God's doing something with my friend. God's doing something with my neighbor. And all of a sudden, when we see this, right, because we're being watchful, we're like, okay, how exciting is that, right? To live a life where we're going, ooh, God's always moving. That's the principle where God is always working. And it's for us to be watchful to go, yes, God's working there. I'm going to step in. God's working here. Yes, I get to join him there. And so when God does, I'm going to give you five things that we know that only God can do these things. Only God can do these things. And so when we see some of these things begin to happen in our conversations and in people's lives, we can see that as God's invitation. A revelation from God is God's invitation for us to join him. When he reveals something to us, a truth, or when we read scripture, and we're like, oh, this is incredible. This is a moment for you and I to go, now I'm going to walk into that. Now I'm going to live this out. Now I want to apply it to my life. So I'm going to give you five things. You ready? We're training up, we're getting, okay. First one is only God can draw people to himself. Only God can draw people to himself. When we have a conversation and somebody starts going, I need to get back into church. I've been thinking, just randomly, I've been thinking that I need to get back into God's word. When we hear those things, God is drawing that person, opening their heart, drawing them into himself, and they're opening themselves and they're walking in that. And in that moment, you and I know, right? Okay, God's doing something. God's doing something in their life. God's doing something in their heart. How can I help facilitate? How can I now be praying for you intentionally through that? Now the moment is there. And then the second one is God causes people to seek him, which is that moment where we see them seeking him and watching that for that opportunity. And then the other one is convicts the world of guilt about sin, right? It's all of a sudden we're having somebody and they're like, I used to live this way, but now when I say this or now when I do this, something's changing in me. It's that realization of that moral code of going, wow, God is directing and trying to shape my life, that I don't need to be doing this anymore. I need to be pursuing righteousness. And if you talk to somebody, they may not have the words for that yet. They may not understand the vocabulary, what that even means, but they're just saying, something's going on in me. And then God convicts the world of righteousness. This is beautiful. This is that the conviction of sin. Sin is, okay, I'm living this way, or I've lived this way, or I've done this, and now I know this is wrong. But conviction of righteousness is like that coach calling something out of you going, hey, this is what you can be. This is what you can do. This is what I'm calling you to. This is the life. This is the moment and the opportunity. You are enough in Christ. God have given you spiritual gifts. It's that calling out of a right way, a righteous way of living. And we get that conviction of going, oh, I think God may be pulling my heart to something more. God may be moving in my life in that. And then the last one there is convicts the world of judgment. Of where somebody may be looking and going, when I get to the end of my life, or when I think about standing before God, I don't know where I stand. I don't know what that may look like. And when we see the conversations like this begin to happen, it's like we're being watchful. God, open my eyes for those opportunities. And I try to, I'm sorry if this is kind of one-minded, but I see this a lot more often with my kids because I will blow past these moments if I'm not careful, right? We'll be riding in the car, and kids don't give you a warning going, hey, in 2 days, I'm going to ask you a crazy question about God, okay, right? Like, you're just riding in the car. You're just hanging out. And I say, hey, Dad, you know, what happens when we die? You know, like just random questions like that. And you're like, oh, okay. But it's a moment, right? It's a moment where God is working something out in their heart. Or maybe you're at school or at work and you're typing away. And maybe you've experienced this, but then somebody all of a sudden will walk up and you go, hey, I know you were going to that church. It's kind of crazy, but tell me a little bit about that church, right? And it's a moment. Or maybe you hear something about their life or going, maybe they did something or their life is, they're going through something. They're going, you know what? I just know that's not right. I need to change. I need to change my life. I got something stirring in me that I need something different. Right there is a moment for you and I to say, I'm watchful. I see this. Okay, I'm praying for you in that. I'm walking with you in this, and I see that God may be doing something in your heart. No, I'm here for you. I'm helping to answer any questions you may have or walk with you in that truth. And we begin to see that God is doing it, and God has opened up the door for that. And then he continues on here, and he says, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. I love that prayer. God, open up a door for your message. Because I don't want to be the crazy one, right? That's like, that forces my way in somewhere, right? That forces my way. Like, I'm knocking on the door at my neighbor's house, and they're like, Daniel, I'm never coming to the door, okay? Like, you need, like, I want to pray for the opportunity to get, God, may, I pray this prayer all the time. God, open up a door for this natural, I'll even pray, God, pray, give me a non-awkward way to share your message, right? Like, God, open up the doorway so that we can have this conversation. And it's amazing to see how God will start to weave and place people in our life because now he knows we're watching. Now he knows we're opening our eyes and going, God, can I see the opportunities in which you're moving and working in my life? Maybe we're praying for a spouse or a brother or a sister or our parents or whatever that may be, friend, whatever it is, we begin to say, how can I be watchful in that? But then he continues on here and says that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And then he goes, help me to proclaim it clearly. And then he says, may I proclaim it clearly, sorry. And then he says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. And the second big prayer that I want us to get here is, God, give me clarity and wisdom. God, give me clarity and wisdom. Give me clarity about your message. God, give me wisdom to apply your message to what's going on in the world around us. God, give me, as you give me opportunities, help me to see that opportunity. Help me to understand what that looks like. And so many times before we open up God's word and begin to read it, we ask for spiritual wisdom, ask for clarity. God, reveal this truth into me so not only can I apply it to my life, but then I can pass it on to someone else. I can connect that with someone else. Because you may read something in Scripture and go, huh, I wonder what that was about, right? Like, I wonder what's going on with that. God, give me clarity in that. And because that clarity will give us motivation. That clarity will help other people understand of going, wow, this is what God was talking about. Because there are so many, I think this is even bigger, because there are so much information out there in the world today where the message of Christianity or the message of Christ can get muddy, right? Well, what does it mean for this? Or what does it mean for that? What does it mean for this? And you and I have an opportunity to say, God, how can I walk in clarity? How can I walk in hope? And so we understand that and see that. And then, God, can you give me wisdom? Wisdom to see what God is doing in and through us. My voice is going out. See there? Jordan's getting me some water. He's a man. As we see that, and the wisdom to make the most of every opportunity. I think that's a huge prayer for you and I, to say, God, how are you working in my life? And now when I see this opportunity, one, not only do I have clarity to walk in that, but I also have the wisdom to say, this is what we're doing. This is how God is moving. This is how God is working. Thank you so much. You're the man. I'm going to trip over. How about you? So as we talk about what God is doing in the wisdom, what I love about the wisdom piece is to be able to take God's word and apply it to a specific situation. It's to take God's word and apply it to someone's life. It's to take whatever God's talking about and working in our life and going, okay, this is how this works in my marriage. This is how it works as a parent. This is how it works in my job. This is how it works with God working and moving in my career. And so I can apply that to have every opportunity. Because the big piece is, when you and I pray, we invite heaven into our situation. When you and I pray, we are calling on heaven's armies. We are calling on the creator of the universe to give us clarity, to give us hope, to walk us through, to give us peace and grace during this time. And there's a story in the Old Testament that I think shows us this so beautifully. And we read it here in 2 Kings. And to really help us see this picture, it's a beautiful Old Testament story. And there's these two prophets. One is named Elijah, and then he has somebody that he is training called Elisha. And Elijah, if you remember, maybe you've heard this story, he goes up against the prophets of Baal, and he prays, and fire from heaven comes down and burns up the altars. And Elijah, he's kind of the man. He's like, there, he's taunting them. He's like, where's your God now, right? Because he has so much confidence in who, he's so confident in who God is. And then Elisha, that's who he's doing, and that's who he's following and trying to be more like Elijah. And then Elisha prays, and he asks God for a double portion of the anointing that he gave Elisha. What a prayer, right? Yeah, I saw what you did in his life. Can you give me double of what you were doing in his life? I want to pursue you so much. Can I have double that blessing? So Elisha begins to live his life. And then, so he's a prophet for God's people, the Israelites. And they are going into battle. And Elisha, he is this prophet who hears from God, right? He's praying to God. And he begins to see things about the King Arab and his Aram and his army and his military. So every time they go into battle, the Israelites already know what they're doing because God revealed it to Elisha. And Elisha would tell the Israelite army. How incredible is that, right? Like, how do you even fight against that? And so soon, King Aram heard about this, and he got so frustrated. He said, well, you know what? I'm going to take out Elisha. I'm going to take out this person. And they read this, and so we read this here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. You guys still with me? Amen. All right. Verse 13, it says, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. And then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariot had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Whew, just right there. That was enough for coming today. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. What a beautiful picture of God, Elisha, knowing he is not alone. God is with us. And when we pray, it's like we step into heaven's army, heaven's plan, God's will, and saying, God, open our eyes so that I may see what you are doing around me. I'm watchful. I'm ready. And we see two different points of view. We see Elisha, who opened up and believed that and was watchful and could see what God was doing. And then the servant, right? They were surrounded. And it's just him and Elisha sitting in this bunker in Dothan. And all of a sudden, he's looking out, and all of it, he sees the heaven, or he sees the armies of King Aram surrounded. And he's going, we're about to die, right? It's just you and I, and we are completely surrounded. This is not going to go well. And I just picture old Elisha. He's just sitting back going, ha, no, we'll be okay. Right? We're going to be going, God, open up his eyes. And then he prays, God, open up his eyes. And now look and see who is with us. And the servant, I just opened the door, and all of a sudden he sees all those vast armies, and then he sees chariots of fire surrounding those armies. Can you see his demeanor change, right? Like, we're going to die to, woo, it's about to go down now. Y'all ain't ready, right? Like, his whole demeanor would have changed. You're not ready because you see what's happening around us. And all of a sudden you and I can realize that there is a lot more going on around us than we may think. That God is always working. God is always moving, and he is stirring up all those things around us, and you and I can be watchful for what God is doing, and you and I can stop and say, God, open my eyes. I want to be watchful for what you're doing in my family, what you're doing in the low country, what you're doing on the world around us, and I want to invite you, God, into my situation. And all of a sudden, we begin to see how God is moving and working and connecting the right people at the right time. Or maybe he is just there to give us peace of mind. Maybe he is there just to give us strength and encouragement during this time. Maybe he's there just to give us comfort. And he's saying, I'm going to help carry you through this. And it's because God is walking with us. And we can see when we begin to pray into what God is doing, it begins to move in our lives and in our hearts. And things begin to move in not only what we can see, but also what we can't see. And I think it becomes a powerful tool for us living on mission. God, be with my neighbor. Begin to pray. Work on their heart, God. Work in their life. I know that they're going through this situation, God. I pray that you would use that situation to draw them near to you, God. And we're praying an intentional prayer, an on-mission prayer for that person that maybe we've been trying to connect to Jesus or whoever that may be. It could be somebody that is close to us. And we begin to shift our prayers of going, I'm not just bringing requests about me to you, God, but I'm also bringing requests of those who I want to bring closer to you. God, save their soul, open their hearts, open their minds to what you are doing in and through us. And one of my favorite questions to ask, and you can literally ask anybody this, because I believe it shows them that you care and that you are walking with them. And the worst that I've ever heard to this question is no. And it's the simple question of how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And as we use that question in an incredibly intentional way, I believe it opens up doorways for people to walk with us. And we've done prayer walks before where we're in malls or out in the open area, and you begin to ask somebody, hey, how can I pray for you? And some people will just say, no, I'm okay right now. You say, okay, that's great. And then, though, being watchful, right? Because only God can do certain things. I remember we were praying one time, prayer walking, and this guy who was kind of sitting there by himself and walked up, and I just said, hey, is there anything I can pray for you? Me and my friends are walking around. We're praying for people. And he just kind of stopped, and he's like, are you for real? I was like, yeah, we're walking around. We're just praying for people. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And he goes, are you for real? Right? Like, he's like, are you for real? He asked me like three times. I was like, yes. I was like, we're praying for you. Is anything going on? He's like, man, I just lost my job. And I came home, and I really didn't know what to tell my family, so I just grabbed my daughters, and we came to the mall just to walk around. And he's like, can you pray for my job? I'm like, yeah, is it okay if I pray for you right now? I began to pray, but it was in that moment, it was like God told that guy to go to the mall because we were there praying. It's just crazy, right? Because we began to pray, and God was doing something already. And all we did was just step into what he was already doing, already moving, already working. And there were times when we walked in, and people were telling us, like, oh, I just got diagnosed with cancer. Can you pray for me? And we're in the like open air. We don't even know this person. But yet they're sharing these things because God's already working in their hearts. And when we are invited into that, you and I can step into it and go, God, okay, I'm here. Well, what can I pray for you about? And even just our friends, our close Christian friends, how can I pray for you intentionally? Anything specific I could be praying for you about? And all of a sudden, as Charles Finney's quote said, there's something that cements our hearts together. When you, okay, you, I know they're praying for me. I know they're intentionally praying. I know they're walking with me. I know they are going to the throne room of God and asking him and praying on my behalf. How incredible is that, that we get to walk in that and know what God is doing? And so I want to ask us, maybe you want to ask somebody that question. Maybe you want to ask somebody that's close to you this week. Maybe you want to ask a coworker. I would encourage you to stretch your faith a little bit and ask somebody that you're like, I'm not real sure, God, right? But just to ask them, say, is there anything I can be praying for you about this week? Is there anything I can walk in one of those ways? And I want and just to take that faith step of going, okay, God, I'm going to be watchful. I'm praying, God, use me, open door. And you may get some no's, right? You may get some people, okay, God bless you, right? And we get to move on because maybe God's not stern or they're not being open to it, whatever it may be, but we're being watchful because I don't control that, right? God is the one that moves. God is the one that working, and we step into that. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And then the second thing is, we are moving into what we would call the Easter season. And I believe I see it every single year as a pastor. And I just believe God moves in a supernatural way during this time. And obviously, it's getting ready because that's when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, the hinge pin of our faith. And I believe, honestly, there are people that will come to church on that Easter Sunday who maybe have never come to church before, but yet on Easter, they're like, for some reason, I got to go to church, right? Like, some reason, I need to be there. Whatever the reason may be, we want to start praying now that God would move and open our hearts to see those opportunities, because one thing I know about the Bridge Church is we're going to share the gospel. We're going to step into that opportunity and go on. Even if this is the only time you ever come to church, you're going to hear how Jesus died on the cross for you and how he rose again and how you can give your life to him and your eternity can be changed forever. And you and I, we can't control all of those different things, but yet we can begin to pray that God would stir hearts. And maybe God would stir in our heart as we prepare this Easter season, whether it's online or in person, whatever that can be. But just, I believe we can come together as a church and saying, God, do what only you can do. Draw people near to you. Convict of sin, convict of righteousness. God, move and work in the world around us and help me to open my eyes to see what you're doing. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. God, I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that you would help us to see what you are doing around us, God. God, I pray that you would help us to see the opportunities that are around us. And when we see a moment where you're working in somebody's life, whether you're drawing them near to you or whether you are speaking something into them, I pray to God that we would be aware of that and we would see that. And as Paul is teaching us, saying, make the most of every opportunity and step into that, God. Give us wisdom and clarity as we step into those opportunities, God. Help us to speak what your truth says and what your word says and how you set up this world. Help us to speak that clearly, God. Give us wisdom to apply your knowledge that you have taught us into somebody else's life, God. God, I pray that you would help us to see how you're moving and working. God, because we live in a broken world, and God, we see so many bad things that just happen around us. God, I pray that we can see that you are walking with us. God, I pray that you help us to see those moments that can only be explained because you are moving, God. That your angels may be working around us, or that the Holy Spirit may be binding or working around us, God, that we can see that, God, and we can rest in the fact that you are working. God, we are your vessels. Help us to be the bridge here in this community, God. Help us to render our lives to you. God, speak not only into our lives, lift us, encourage us, God. Even though we are weak, you are strong. Help us to walk in your wisdom, God. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and sing this song, Waymaker, together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.